for two. Kickers are extra, I give them the boot. Ooh, going for two. Sit back, relax while I grab me a brew. Ooh, now I'm reclining while putting my time and I'm ready to go. My spine is aligning and much my lineups, my bank account grow. I am so rich, but knowledge is all that I'm leaving it with. Ooh, listen to this. Multiple options, how far can I get? Ooh, DFS Dynasty redraft tonight, I'm not finishing last. I'm finishing past any and all, I am looking to last.
What else?
This spot is popping and I am so locked in, and only opening the door when it is opportunity knocking. And all of these spots keep on talking and talking. So what are we talking? What kind of alignment and running it deep? Even players forgotten or came from the bottom or hitting that topping. And this spot is popping, yeah, this spot is popping. And woo! This is the arm chat. Yeah. Put up your arms, yeah. Sound the alarm, yeah.
What's going on, guys, and welcome to episode 324 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. We are live every Wednesday night on the Going for Two Live podcast network. We are on Facebook Live, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch, and of course, syndicated in all major podcast networks. If you are currently on Twitter, we cannot see your comments on Twitter, so go find us on YouTube, youtube.com/Ryan/ at Going for Two Live. Ryan,
why are you calling me out?
You made fun of me last time for using the backslash. You said I was old for using the backslash, so I'm gonna use it and emphasize it this time.
And I meant it.
Lean into it, Jeff.
Lean into
it's
it.
It's like giving directions. You're like, oh yeah, past the old oak tree on the right.
Exactly.
Backslash, right?
Exactly. Ryan, what's
Jeff
up, man?
Jeff definitely uses landmarks when he gives people directions.
I definitely do. For sure.
It's like the stump.
So what's up, Ryan? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I got some fun stuff coming up with summer on our way. It's a good time to be alive, man.
Absolutely.
And, you know, football. We got OTAs and Lamar's there. I'm happy.
That's good stuff. All right. Joining us tonight for the second time, Matt Chester of Fighting Chance Fantasy and the Undroppables. You can follow him on Twitter at FFMadJester. What's up, man?
Hey, I'm happy to be here. How are you?
Good, man. Good. Glad to have you back on the show.
You actually said it was twice. And I was on with you during last season, but this is my second time going for two this week because I got to hang out with Gladys Monday night.
That's right. You're on
that. That was a good time.
Yep. So this is the third time on the Going for Two podcast network. That's right. Yep. Absolutely. Gladys had you on Monday night on the 2-point conversion. Good stuff. So real quick, for my listeners out there that didn't catch you on Gladys's show or on the last time you were on, give them a real quick rundown of what you do in the fantasy space.
I just play too much fantasy, so being in the space kind of justifies that a little bit. So I, you know, bouncing around shows kind of makes it seem legitimate, the amount of time I waste, because it's embarrassing. But I just like to play a lot, and I like to talk theories, and, you know, if I can do that for an hour, I will every time.
That's the realest answer ever. Because I'm like, I feel like I wouldn't be. It gives me an excuse to be in this many leagues. That's the realest answer I've ever heard, and I love it.
Nice.
Like, that just spoke to a deep down part of me.
Jamie in the chat's making fun of my man bun. Ryan made fun of my man bun before the show. It's a little
housewife bun.
It's a housewife bun. It's a little bit higher than normal. It's all good. All right.
The higher the hair, the closer to God.
All right. Let's pay some bills real quick before we get to the show. This show is always brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Check out their industry-leading best ball leagues, huge tournaments, private leagues, and pick them to every major sport. Use our promo code GF2 to get a deposit match up to $100. It's as simple as that. Sign up, use promo code GF2, and start drafting your best ball teams, which I currently have about four leagues going right now. I know Ryan's been sort of doing a lot of best balls this year. What about you, Jester? Are you a best ball junkie?
No, I'm definitely a dynasty junkie. It's kind of a sickness, but I've been, you know, between the end of the season, there's that giant lull, and then all the way up leading to the actual NFL draft. It's just it's kind of a grind. But I like to spend a lot of that time looking at my teams and evaluating them and kind of writing them down and formatting everything in a way that I can check back pretty easily. So when it's time to do rookie drafts and all this new information, I can just kind of coast on the league knowledge that a lot of people probably forget about their leagues.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, I wasn't a best ball person until last year. Last year, I kind of got into it a little bit and It's funny when you win some money doing something, you tend to be a bigger fan of it. So this year I'm even more into it, because last year I made a killing on some of my leagues last year. So hoping to repeat that success again this year.
My first C2C draft's taken up my whole life right now.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
We're still in the NFL part. I'm already like trying to like change our strategies as we go.
So it's driving me nuts. Is it two separate drafts, or do they put the college players in with the NFL players?
We're doing it just two separate drafts, because gotcha. We're gonna have one manager specifically running each league, even though we're drafting together. But yeah,
good stuff. All right, guys, we got a great show today. We're going to do a new segment called On the Clock. We're going to play a live Weddle game. We did it last week with Gladys, our first one. We had some fun doing it, so we're going to do it again this week. Then we'll do some Fact or Cap. But as always, we kick off the show with our nonsense draft.
Attention, everyone. Let's mock draft.
All right, today we are drafting zoo animals for a battle royale. Ryan pointed out that we did a animal one once before, but, you know, zoo animals a little bit different, hopefully, maybe. And we got a new guest, so we'll get some new animals in here. But as always, the guest goes first. You get the 101 here. Jester, give me your 101.
I had an answer until we talked before the show, and you guys kind of wanted to figure out what the rules might be, and the rules fell down to there are no rules. So I won't go mythical, but I'll take the liger. I'll take a giant crossbreed between a tiger and a lion.
Nice.
I think they can get up to like 800 or 900 pounds, and yeah, they do, and maybe they do possess mystical powers.
That's a good one. That one is not on my list. That's an excellent choice. I didn't even think
so.
About
that means I could have waited. Damn,
that's like the Hogwarts Zoo then.
Yeah, the Hogwarts Zoo. Yeah, good stuff. All right, I'm up at the 102, and I'm gonna go a little bit off the beaten path as well, and I'm gonna go with the Komodo dragon. Just the big ass lizard. I know, like his teeth, like when he bites down, it will infect you and you'll die later on. Like, you may not die right away, but you'll die slowly. The Komodo dragon, and they move a lot faster than you expect them to move. I've seen a couple times where they've snuck up on some animals, and you know, and then they just go, and you're like, whoa, holy shit, that big ass lizard is that fast. So Komodo dragon is my choice here at the 102. Ryan, you got the 103.
That match has changed the rules on us. So I'm taking it back to an old closed down zoo. And an animal is no longer with us. And that's the Tyrannosaurus Rex in Jurassic Park.
All right. That's an interesting choice there. I don't know. Dinosaurs. No longer.
you set this off the rail, so let's go.
Got a little Jurassic Park zoo up in here. I like it. I like it. All right. Back to you, Matt, at the 104.
So I looked it up while you were saying that Komodo dragons, humans can run 8 miles an hour and Komodo dragons can run 12 miles an hour.
So it's not as fast as I thought, but they move quick in spurts.
Yeah, they'll catch up with you 2/3 of the way around the track.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try and steer it back to animals maybe we've seen in a zoo. I'll go with a hippo. It has the highest kill count in the entire continent of Africa. You wouldn't think so, but they are vicious and huge, capable. It's basically like if an elephant was a gator.
Yeah.
And they're mean and they charge, but they can also I need something that can be aquatic as well, in case the battle goes to where they're hiding underneath the surface. You know, all of a sudden you don't know that my rook is over there trapping you, you know?
Yeah, that's a great choice. I think that was my 101 in the wild kingdom draft that we did. And you're right. I mean, hippos are a beast. There's like a video on TikTok where it's fighting three lions and holding all three lions off. And the crazy thing is, I saw a stat that or a fact that they can't actually swim. They just literally are so strong that they just run on the bottom of the surface of the water. That's how strong they are. They can't swim whatsoever. So that's how powerful
Dang.
They are.
And you know, so in the off season, like there's different phases of the off season in fantasy football. And one of the phases is like, dudes jumping out of pools, holding weights, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Like that's what the hippo does all the time. That's its main mode of transportation.
That's its life, so, yeah, right there.
But yeah, thousands upon thousands of pounds.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Yep. Good stuff. All right. Back to me at the 105 here. And I'm going to go with, another large animal. It's not very mean unless you piss it off, but I think I can train this thing. They're pretty smart. I'm going with the elephant. I mean, similar to the hippo. Hippos are a lot meaner, and they got that crazy bite, but big-ass elephant against almost anything, and it's going to win. It's just humongous, and I can ride on the back of that thing and direct traffic of all my animals that I'm going to be leading against the charge against y'all. All right, Ryan, you got the 105. No, 106.
I'm taking 106. I'm taking the gorilla. You know, they can lift over 2,000 pounds.
Sniped.
They can they can attack you from above and drop coconuts on your head while you're riding that hippo. And they're smart as you can get for an animal. And like I said, they're so strong. We got the gorilla.
Yeah, that's a great choice. That was on my list as well. That's who I was thinking about taking there, the last pick, but I went with the elephant instead. All right, Matt, this is your last pick here at the 107.
This is tough, man. I guess I'll go with any whatever the biggest predator bird is. Do y'all know what that might be?
Probably a bald eagle. I'm thinking bald eagle, probably.
They are huge, huh?
Yeah, they're
huge.
I just want a little bit of a, I want a, an overview. I want a bird's eye view of everything that's going on all the time. You know, it's kind of the, are we trapping them in the water or are we going and whooping them because we're a liger? The eagle can come and swoop down and just kind of rain terror as well. But just for a strategic standpoint, let me get some death from above.
I like it. That was going to be my pick actually too, because I wanted the bald eagle in the aerial view. So I'm up at the 108 now, and I was sniped. I'm trying to think of another bird that I would take here, but the bald eagle is probably the best one.
You know, Ryan stole my gorilla, if it makes you feel any better about getting sniped.
So let's see here. I got an elephant. I got a Komodo dragon. I need something with a little bit more speed. Let me just go with the old-fashioned lion, just king of the jungle. Let me get the lion. I mean, not much to say about them other than the king of the jungle, right? They don't actually live in the jungle, but they, you know, that's what they call him, the king of the jungle. So I'll take the lion here at the 108.
Lion with a man bun, right?
Exactly.
You gotta let those gorgeous locks flow, baby.
I love it. All right, Ryan closes out here. 109.
I went with this animal last time. I stick with it because it terrifies me. It can kill lions. It's known for kicking lions in the chest. It can take a 40 caliber bullet to the chest because it's so strong in the middle and it runs over 40 miles per hour. It's the ostrich.
Whoa.
I remember that the last time you took that.
They scare the shit out of me.
Yeah. They are some freaky ass looking birds.
And their claws are ridiculous.
Yeah. I love it. All right. That wraps up our nonsense draft for the week. We're going to do a new segment. Let me go ahead and hit the drop.
You are on the clock.
All right. The way this works here is I took some Dynasty ADP. I pulled them for a couple different sites, and I put them into a spreadsheet and basically looked at the highest ADP on each site and the lowest ADP on each site and figured out what the difference between the two was, and then looked at the players with the biggest difference. Basically, guys that the community, depending on where you play and how you play, are very, very different on. So we're going to look at a couple of the ones that I sort of picked out that had huge differences in the ADP on different sites. And the first one here, we'll go to you first, Jester. The first one here is Tua Tagovailoa. He was as high as 84th, as low as 147, which is a 63 spot difference. His overall is 119. He's QB 14.
Is so, this in one QB?
This is in one QB. Yeah, one okay. QB. I should have said that at the top. So yeah, in a one QB league, you are on the clock. Where are you taking them? Are you towards the higher side of things, or are you towards the lower side of things with this?
Probably towards the lower side of things, but I believe in him to be on the higher side of things. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I can see if he plays all season, he's going to be a steal at a bargain at any cost, this to a guy. But there is the risk of him not finishing the season. You know, I am scared for the health. There's some new pictures of OTAs that came out of him, and that boy's looking thick.
Yep.
So maybe that little bit of extra like rhino muscle can shield him from the those injuries were very scary last year. So I like him in the higher end, but I probably won't reach on him if I'm trying to build a strong team, generally just because I like letting values fall to me. So that might ruin this whole game if that's going to be the pattern.
No, absolutely. I like it. I like it. I mean, I think, you know, I personally, I'm a big Tua Tagovailoa. I love him. I loved him last year. I was all over him last year. 84 seems a little high for me. What's that, like the seventh round, something like that? And I'm with you. One quarterback leagues, that might be a little bit too rich for my blood at the seventh round, because he essentially becomes your QB1, and you're passing up on some pretty good receivers at that range. The low side, though, is pretty crazy. 147, that's almost free, basically, for a quarterback. So, I mean, I'm probably somewhere in the middle there. What about you, Ryan? What are your thoughts here on Tua Tagovailoa?
I'm closer to the low side. I'm at 131 overall in QB19. I'm so afraid of his health. Like, that many concussions that fast is unheard of. And once it happens once, it just keeps happening. It's one of those just... I don't know. I'm not messing with him. The opportunities that are, like you said, he plays the whole season. He's fantastic. He has the most explosive receivers in football in an offense. It opens that up, and he should be great. But if it's we're talking dynasty, I'm not taking that chance.
Yeah, that's it too. In dynasty, it's the chance you're taking because you're going to be tied to this quarterback.
It's a long-term risk, and yep. I'm just not doing it. Yep. I'd rather take a risk with a lower end quarterback who still has a little bit of floor.
You know who he's always reminded me of being from New Orleans? He's always reminded me of just a lefty Drew Brees.
Yeah.
You know, real small, kind of bet against. And I maybe, okay, so I'm probably just trying to defend the amount of Tua that I picked over the last 2 years. But do you remember how Miami was cursed for like two decades after they passed on Drew Brees because of the injury?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He has that upside. And like you said, his receiving core is great. He doesn't need to be great to be really great in fantasy football. He just kind of has to do his bare minimum is showing up and being as accurate as he's always been with the receiving core that he's had. And he'll do it. You know, he hit 50 points one game last week or last year. It's there. It's just the insecurity of it.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we're going to go from a quarterback that had some inconsistencies due to injury to probably one of the most consistent guys that we've ever seen in the NFL. His 1,000-yard season streak is unbeaten. He's up there in age. Mr. Mike Evans went as high as ADP 44, went as low as 91. That's a 47 spot difference. He is currently 77th overall and wide receiver 38. I know, Ryan, this is a little bit of an older guy for Dynasty, but what are your thoughts on Mike Evans and where do you feel comfortable taking him?
I love Mike Evans. He's always consistent. He's going to get you 1,000 yards or close, 10 touchdowns, like clockwork. He's done with great quarterbacks. He's done with terrible quarterbacks. That said, that age is creeping up. He should be fine with Baker Mayfield, though. I know I've seen the comments about Baker's noodle armor, but he just has to throw in the vicinity. He's still going to win jump balls with 50 balls. I have him 65 right now in the lower end for the wide receivers overall. But it's one of those things, it's dynasty. If I'm trying to win now, he's a nice cheap buy.
Yeah, absolutely. Wide receiver 38, that's basically flex territory right there. What are your thoughts on Mike Evans, Matt?
I'm pretty much with Ryan. He summed it up nicely. I don't know what I would spend to go get Mike Evans in Dynasty if I'm looking at a win now, but I know that he could be a really nice part of a package for somebody that's looking to dump off all these guys because he's got so much risk that he's hard to put all your money on that square. But if you can find somebody who wants to deal him in two squares, I feel a little bit more comfortable with him.
Yeah, definitely like a second piece to a bigger trade. I like it. That's a good thought there. And that 44, that must be someone that must be a Bucks fan because that 44 ADP is pretty high there. I don't know if I could take Mike Evans at 44. I'm probably a little bit more on the lower side of Mike Evans. I love Mike Evans. I have him in my home league, or I did until this past season. I traded him away, but I've had him his whole time that I've had this home league. I've had Mike Evans. He's super consistent. You put him in there. He has those ceiling weeks, and then he has games where he's just, you know, consistent, just does what he needs to do. So But that 44 is a little bit too high for me. I'm probably not quite as low as the 91. I'm probably right there in the middle. I think I currently have him ranked as a receiver 40 overall. So I'm pretty much there with the consensus at the wide receiver 40. So
the proof is in the pudding. What did you trade him away for? What did it take?
So it would have been last year I traded him. So I got a 23 first and a throw-in receiver. I forget who it was. Just someone to start for the year. But yeah, I got a first for him last year.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Where did it end up?
Well, the funny thing was, is I was trying to sell my pieces away, right? I thought I was out. I lost Breece Hall. I lost Javonte Williams. I lost Kyler Murray. I'm like, all right, I'm going to sell my older pieces and I'm going to just rebuild. And I sold Mike Evans. I sold Christian McCaffrey for Jalen Waddle straight up. And then I traded a third round pick for Jerick McKinnon, and I rode Jerick McKinnon to a championship. So
wow.
I went into rebuild mode and then went in the whole thing. So, yeah, Jerick McKinnon and Sam Darnold are my heroes because they both got me the championship after I lost Kyler Murray too. All right, let's move to another old receiver. He's another guy that's been very consistent. Unfortunately, this year he's going to be without his main quarterback for probably a good portion of the season. And it's there been some trade rumors mixed in there too with DeAndre Hopkins. He went as high as ADP 56. He went as low as 99. That's 44 spot difference. He is currently ranked, or ADP is 82nd overall, and he's receiver 40. So right there in the same range as Mike Evans. Do you feel any differently about D-Hop, Matt, with his situation in Arizona?
I would be kind of surprised if he spent his last year or two catching footballs from like Clayton Tune and whoever else. Yeah. So he's a risky but fun buy if you're a contender also, because whatever his price is right now is going to be, you're going to be kicking yourself if you're a contender and he goes to, you know, the Bills or something like that to fill out a spot, because then you won't be able to get him. It doesn't matter, you know, you just... The talent is still there, but again, old. You know, group him in with Keenan Allen.
Yeah, and Keenan Allen's one of those guys too that, in for most of his career, he was pretty much quarterback proof as well. Mm-hmm. He had some pretty bad quarterbacks when he was in Houston. I think the only quarterback that didn't get him in his numbers was the guy from Denver. I can't think of his name right now, but yeah, he was pretty much good no matter who he had as quarterback.
Trevor Siemian?
No, it was the other one.
Philip Rivers.
Now, who was the one that they paid him way too much money, and then I think Cleveland ended up like buying him out basically out of his contract.
Oh my God.
I can't think of his name right now. It's escaping.
Did he go to Houston ever?
Yeah, I think that's where he went after Denver was Houston.
I remember that too, and they overpaid him, or they might have eaten the contract.
Yeah.
I don't remember who it is, damn.
Yeah, I'm gonna
Jamie should know this in the con. Being Browns fan of the comments. Yeah. So
Jamie, who is that? Jamie, who is that quarterback? They basically, I think the Browns actually paid to take him on because of the contract and something else. Yeah, it was like a weird trade. But anyways, D-Hop is pretty much quarterback proof except for him. Again, Ryan, what are your thoughts on D-Hop?
I feel like I have D-Hop ranked way too low, but I don't know who I can move him for. Or where I can move him just because of the situation. But I mean, last year at his age 30, he averaged 7.1 receptions a game and had 96 targets in 9 games starting. Like, he got fed while he was on the field. And he's never done anything but that. So there's a little bit of hesitation. I think if you're a win now team, he's a good buy. With a lot of upside. I think it's kind of similar to Evans with probably more upside at this point. But yeah, I need to move him up my rankings a few spots.
And the name we were looking for is Brock Osweiler. That's who the.
Oh, that's the one. Yep.
Yeah, he was the one quarterback that killed D-Hop. And I remember that only because that was the year that I ranked D-Hop as the number one receiver overall, thinking that Brock Osweiler would come in there and be better than the quarterback that was previous. And of course, he was so terrible that I think D-Hop wasn't even top 12 that year.
It was still 954 yards and 4 touchdowns. Like, he was real close to 1,000.
Yeah, yep.
So let me read you a list of something that might scare everybody here. I'm gonna talk about a wide receiver. And you guys and his year-end finishes in PPR through his career, and you guys can guess when he turned 30 and who it is.
Okay.
Okay. Year-end finishes for this wide receiver were wide receiver 6, 2, 6, 7, 4, 3, 51, 93, 96.
Holy crap.
Julio 51.
What'd you say?
Julio and 51.
You're exactly right.
Oh, Julio. Wow.
That was when Julio turned 30.
Yep.
So, well, why can't I get that for Forgotten Fantasy?
I know, right?
I know. Well, that. You know, it was
too organic.
That was a good one. Don't worry.
That was a good one, though.
That was a good pull, Ryan. Good pull. I was out on that one. I was like, who the hell was that? Great call. All right, let's do a tight end here. And let's look at the guy that's basically the tight end one, and you can pretty much plug him into any season. He's been the tight end one for a long time. Travis Kelce, he went as high in ADP as 22, as low as 58. That's a difference of 36 spots. He's currently 32nd overall, and, of course, tight end two. Currently is where he's being drafted at in Dynasty. And I'll go to you first this time, Matt. Give me your thoughts on Kelce and where you are. Where are you trying to comfortable taking him in Dynasty right now?
I love the amount of disparity of where he's going from league to league because of how high it is. You know, he goes anywhere from the end of the second to almost the sixth.
Yeah, almost.
Is that right?
Yeah, because yeah,
that's crazy. That means that 12 people have to pass on him that many times, whereas some people are taking him at the end of the second round in a super flex startup. That's so that just makes for really fun trading.
Yeah,
you know, when you can find that wide of a disparity on a player. It doesn't really matter if you want to buy him or sell him, because you can probably, you know, if you play portfolio style with enough leagues, you can probably buy, you know, sell one and buy two, and through all three of those leagues where you're doing that, you're paying the same price going in and out, but you're getting two Kelce's over one. Like, that's just a really fun character.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Kelce is one of those guys that we keep saying that, okay, he's getting older, you know, maybe he falls off, but he keeps not falling off and keeps topping what he did the year previous. He keeps doing it. Ryan, what about you? What are your thoughts on Kelce here?
He just went 2-7 in the league. I'm drafting him now for Dynasty.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. I think you have to make a drafting Kelce makes you make a decision. Depending on how the first two rounds go or where you take him. If you're drafting Kelce, you're playing to win now. I think once he's on your team, you're kind of stuck with him regardless, because you're never going to get the right offer for him. That disparity makes him hard to trade for, because he has that name value that keeps it high.
Yep.
But it also, he's old, so people are going to lowball you. So you're kind of stuck with him regardless. So you're trying to win now if you draft Kelce high, and you have to build your roster accordingly. Like, he's one of the moves you make early that basically controls your whole draft in Dynasty.
Yep.
And your whole build.
You're making that choice.
It's not a bad thing, but it's a very specific thing. And if you draft wrong after taking him that early, you're screwed.
Yep.
Can I go a step further with what you're saying? If you are drafting him, you weren't going to get that value back, because after a draft before the season starts, it's really hard to trade away players, because you get them and you think like, yeah, I got myself a value. But if you're the one that took him in the draft, you probably see him higher than anybody else. So it is hard to trade him. You won't be able to get the value that you think you should get if you're drafting him right now. But in established leagues, I sold my very last Kelce, and then I went out and bought another one for what I feel like was half price, you know?
Yep.
But I sold my very last Kelce, and it hurt. I like to play bully tight end, but it was a non-tight end premium league, so, and I might need to kind of retool and flesh out the youth. So I sold him for 201 and a 24 first and second.
Wow,
so
that's a nice trade.
If you can cash out on that. If you're taking him in the second round of a super flex startup and selling him for that, you already lost money. But if you're in an established league and you get that, that's a nice little return.
That's Absolutely. A real nice return. I'd take that. Like, I don't know if I'd take less than that. That's a good offer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we've
like that's like the perfect like median for him. I like
and that. The way it helps both teams, because you know, it could, both teams could be very, very happy with that trade. And then you have a trade partner that you're very happy with and they're very happy with you. And, you know, and because of that price that you're both happy with, you can go and fish around all your other leagues and get one much, much cheaper and then not feel so bad about selling your last
policy. There you go. And the thing with tight ends too, and something that we talked about on the show before is tight ends are best to sell during a season, because in the off season, we always talk about, oh, the tight end is so deep. There's all these great rookies that just came in. And then we get to the season, we're like, oh, wait a minute. That's right. Tight ends suck. And then they look at Travis Kelce balling out, and you could sell him for a lot more than you could in the offseason.
And everybody was just counting on Albert O to get him through.
Exactly.
And everybody's just counting on Chig Okonkwo to be something besides Jonnu Smith 3 years ago in the same team, you know, and everybody's like really, really pumped about their players. And then it's Kelce.
Yep, exactly. That's how it seems to work every year.
It's Kelce.
All right, let's do one more. I'm going to pick one more guy here, and Jamie's in the chat, and I know this is a guy that he's talked about in some of our Discord chats, so I'm going to bring him up here, and it's Mr. Rashad White. He's going an ADP as high as 51, as low as 67, it's a 16-spot difference. He's currently 57th overall in RB18. I think the community is pretty split on this guy as far as what they expect from him. And I'm going to go to you first, Ryan. Give me your thoughts on Rashad White with that team without Tom Brady and a bad offensive line.
I love Rashad White. I think he's going to have a really, really nice year. I hate the team for him, but I think his path with their offensive line losing some pieces, Baker not be able to throw the ball really far, he could be a 60 to 70 target guy. So I think he's a very, very good pickup for in PPR dynasty leagues. And you know what? If they suck as bad as we think they're going to be with this quarterback situation, and they get second or third pick next year, and they get someone like a Drake May, it's open. It brings the wheels up for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they showed they trusted him by drafting him when they did.
Yep.
Drafting when they did, not drafting somebody else.
Yeah, they didn't draft anybody else.
It's all right. But yeah, by not drafting somebody else, like, I have running back 15 right now. I really like Rashad White.
Wow, that is high.
I was struggling to find my rankings, so I didn't realize I am that high.
What about you, Matt? What are your thoughts on Rashad White here?
You said he was his high ADP in single quarterback is 51 and his low ADP is 67.
67, yep.
I'm not going to have any Rashad White. I don't see him as a first five or five and a half round pick. And if that's the lowest he's going, I'll just never be able to get him. And everything that Ryan is saying is absolutely true. You know, he is going to get those short dump offs. He could be a 60 to 70% guy with a low A dot that, you know, racks him up in PPR. And Leonard Fournette before him was never efficient. His whole career, he's been like how has he been like a 4 yards per carry guy and always been like top seven?
Yep.
But
volume.
But if you're going to drop somebody into that same situation, you know, James Robinson followed him up in Jacksonville, Leonard Fournette. And then Leonard Fournette comes over here and I can see, and he kind of did the same thing and he still put up numbers, and I could see Rashad White being that guy, but I'm just not going to spend that price. I'm not going to spend a fifth round pick on it. And I don't think that there's a lot of variance in that. What is it, like a 16 spot difference?
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me, because right now he's the clear cut number one, and the only guy behind him is like undrafted Sean Tucker, which should really boost him up. And I guess that's what's doing it with the ADP. But, you know, usually if we're wondering if Leonard Fournette is going to come back to a team, or if Zeke is going to end up there, as he's been rumored to be heading that way, if there's that much speculation about his role in the offense changing that drastically, how is there only a 16 spot difference? Because usually you'd be able to capitalize on rumors like that. But it seems like nobody's betting on it either way. And everybody's landing in the middle.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. It's 16 spots is not that big of a difference, really. And I feel like, just in my experience, that the Dynasty community is a little bit more split on him. But it seems like this ADP is saying otherwise. I'm not quite as high on him as Ryan is. I got him at RB20.
Where I'm ranked and where I draft him are a little bit different. Like, there's guys I think I have ranked below him that draft ahead of them. because I think he'd fall, but looking at this, maybe not. But it's what he's like in that weird zone. I like to put Leonard in a situation.
Yeah.
I think that maybe you were having a nice dream about him and your heart crept out of your body and went downstairs and messed with your model.
Yeah, I already see one person I'm moving above him and possibly another. But yeah.
Who's that? You gotta share with us who you moving up over him.
Oh, I had Gibbs a spot low, but I need to move him up.
Oh, you got Gibbs. Yeah. You got Gibbs below Rashad White.
Currently? I had Gibbs one spot below him, and I need him above him.
Wow.
You would so in a super flex, in a super flex rookie draft. What are you paying for Rashad White if you're neck and neck with 105 Gibbs?
I'm not trading for him. Where I'm ranked. Like yeah. I'm that stubborn about it. I don't believe the perceived values there, and I think I can lowball it, and I won't overpay on somebody even if I like them.
And you are way low on Gibbs. That's something we got to talk about in the next show.
Yeah, man. I bet you could just draft Gibbs, draft for talent, and trade for need. I bet you could draft Gibbs and get a Rashad White and a first back in pretty much every league.
Yeah, Gibbs. I got Gibbs as a top 12 right now in
Dynasty. I just moved him to 14.
Just moved him to 14 as we were speaking. Yeah, I love it.
Well, no, go move in your leagues, man. Go figure out that.
I got no Gibbs, unfortunately, in any of my drafts. I didn't have it. I think I had two first round picks across like 12 leagues this year. I just didn't have any firsts. It's the way the season's went.
Okay, Sean McVay.
Yeah.
I very much believe in that mindset. And cool. I'll rip on Sean McVay for it every day, but I believe in him for some reason.
All right. Here at Going for Two, we do 1 hour podcast dedicated solely to your league. We have a panel of analysts that come on the show. Usually about four of us will come on and we give in-depth analysis of every team in the league. We do a ranking of first to worst. We give trade advice. We do things to improve your roster for as little as $8.50 a person in a 12-man league. So if you're taking entry fees right now, just increase it by $8.50 a person and you can afford one of these personal league podcasts. We do everything from redraft, vampire, superflex, IDP, you name it. We did a contract league about a month ago. That was a lot of fun. So visit goingfor2.com/PLP to book your podcast. Again, that's goingfor2.com/PLP. PLP stands for Personal League Podcast.
And if you tip him really well, he'll slam the guy you like the least in the league. He'll just destroy your nemesis.
Yes, absolutely. We talked about a little bit of this on the last podcast, but it's always funny to me that the person that reaches out to me to purchase a PLP always has like the best team in the league.
I bet the other half of it is that they're really spiteful towards somebody else. They're like, hey, give me an objective like destruction of this my mortal enemy.
Yep, absolutely. They want to talk a little shit and then also be, you know, because they think they have the best team, so they want to be ranked the highest too, and they want to sort of talk shit to the rest of the league. So and this is the first year we've done them live. It's a lot of fun. We used to do them on audio only and then we would send it to the league and, you know, they do whatever with it, but now we do it live. And the last one we did, all the guys were in the chat like talking shit about each other, like, oh, you got ranked 10, you got I told you your team sucked. And it's a lot of fun. So definitely, guys, if you want to get one of these, goingfor2.com/PLP to go get yours. All right. Last week we played the Weddle game. It was a lot of fun. Gladys said she wasn't a fan of it before the show, but then when we played it, she actually enjoyed it. So I decided to bring it back one more time. So I'm going to bring up the screen here. Hopefully y'all can see that. And the way that it works, I know you said you hadn't played before, Matt. So basically, we're going to guess. It's like the game Wordle. You ever played Wordle before?
Sure.
Yes, I'm guessing that's a no, but
no, but I am on social media, so I know what Wordle is.
All right, so we're gonna guess just any random NFL player here, and it's gonna break down the position, number, age, the team and division, and it's gonna tell us if we're close or not. So Ryan, just throw out a random NFL player name.
Josh Jacobs.
All right, let me put that in there.
I don't know why that question just felt like so much pressure.
All right.
What, name any NFL player?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. All
right, so this is how it works. It's only skill players. This is on easy mode, so it's only skill players. So you see the one that turned green there, Matt? So green means that's the right answer. So he's definitely a running back that we're looking for.
Oh, yeah.
But because the division did not light up yellow, yellow means you're close. It says AFC West. So we know it's going to be an NFC running back who's going to be over 5'10", under the age of 25, and under the number 28.
So, well, how do I tell if there's the arrows pointing up and down, right?
Yes, yeah. Arrows pointing up and down. So the arrow up on the 5'10 means he's taller than 5'10".
Okay. Under 25, why is that yellow?
That's yellow because we're close. So it's probably like 24. It's probably right below 25. And then 28, okay. The 28 is the number. Just under 28 is his jersey number.
Oh, Lord.
That's the hardest one for me.
Well, you know what? That's especially hard because now wide receivers are getting like number 7.
Right, exactly.
We at least have the position this time early.
Yeah, last time we couldn't get the position forever. This time we definitely did. So we're looking for an NFC running back over 5'10", who's fairly young. He's under 25. So who y'all thinking here?
Wait, so he's not quite under 25 years old?
He's under 25.
No, he's under 25.
Yeah, he's 24 or under. He's probably 24. Typically, when they do the yellow, it means you're one number off. So he's probably 24, over 5'10". So pretty tall for a running back in the NFC.
Brian Robinson.
That's Ryan's favorite guy right now.
Let's
try Brian Robinson and see what we got here. Brian Robinson. Oh, lots of green there. All right, so we got the right team. Washington is the NFC East, of course.
Gibson.
Yeah, it's right. Easy now. Yeah. It's definitely Gibson.
Got to be Gibson.
Oh, yeah, suck it, Ryan. I got it. Good job. Dude nailed like 6 greens in a row.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah,
that was team effort on that.
Three guesses, you know, and we got it this week. Good stuff.
You had me write a mystery box forgotten player that we're going to do at the end of the thing. And I was thinking like, man, these guys are – I'm going to be – it's just a jerk guy because y'all are not going to get it. Ryan's going to get it on the first guess.
We actually did have one, and then I'll brag myself a little bit. We had one hint that he gave, and it was everyone spent all their fab on him during the offseason, and I guessed it on that. It was Tyson Williams for the Ravens.
Oh, wow. Oh, I remember that. That was like 70-90%. That was crazy. Yep.
I was one of those guys.
I saw him for a second.
I did it in Scott Fishbowl because I had J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, both who got hurt in the offseason, so I had to drop my fab on them.
That's right. They both tore the ACLs ahead of him.
Yep. I think on the same day, right, Ryan?
Because there was like a one-day window to sell Gus Edwards.
Marcus Peters tore his ACL the day Dobbins did, and then Gus did it like the next day.
That's right. That's right.
It was a rough couple of days. Yeah. I try to block that out of my memory.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do some Fact or Cap.
And now it's Fact or Cap.
All right, so there's not a ton of news and storylines going on right now, so I had a hard time finding some really good ones, but I think I got 5 good ones we can discuss here. And the first one, I'm going to go to you first, Matt, on this one. Russell Wilson with Sean Payton is a top 15 QB in 2023. Fact or cap?
Cap. And I hate doing this because I've never had Russell Wilson in any dynasty leagues. But I picked up a few of them in startups because he was going to like the 7th and the 8th before Sean Payton went there. And now I've flipped those because I hate revealing this stuff because people play in leagues with me. I play in a lot of leagues. So people are going to hear this and be like, oh, you don't believe in Russell Wilson? Well, I love narratives. I love narratives more than anything else. And Sean Payton is, shrewd, funny in his own way, kind of a more hard-nosed, off-the-wall McVay. And I feel like if he doesn't like Russell Wilson, it doesn't matter how good he is. Basically, I'll believe in Russell Wilson being a top 15 QB as much as my coach, as a New Orleanian for my entire life, has been Sean Payton. I'll trust Sean Payton's judgment. And they bumped into each other at a basketball game the other day. There was pictures all over social media of them in the front row, and people were like, oh, maybe they went to the game together. No, they bumped into each other at the game, and Sean Payton made his wife sit between him and Russell Wilson, and that's not a great. That's if you want to know what the opposite of the breakfast narrative is, it's Sean Payton being like, "I will sit with you, but not with you, with you."
Yeah, that's funny. I didn't realize that. That's a good storyline there. I like it. What about you, Ryan? What are your thoughts here on Russell Wilson? Top 15 with Sean Payton.
I'm directly at 15 in my rankings right now for QBs. If we're just looking at Sean Payton. In his 18 years as coaching, including being an OC, 15 of them, they were top 12 in passing yards, and 12 of them, they're top 12 in passing touchdowns.
Who were they, though?
They were all Drew Brees.
It was all Drew Brees.
That's what I'm saying.
except for the years as OC at the Giants.
Do you know how good Bill Belichick was for years and years and years?
Yeah. Because he had Tom Brady.
But we've also seen Russell Wilson be very good.
Yeah.
And they also have very talented wide receivers.
I don't know if we've ever seen Russell Wilson be as good as Geno Smith in the same offense. That's hyperbolic. I'm just kidding. Sorry.
It's fair. I agree it's fair. But, man, they still have the track record with him. I'll take that little bit of a chance. Like, who would you take a chance on right now? Russ or Tua?
Ooh, that's good.
Just bringing that back to our old one.
I think I'm going Tua, honestly. I'm looking at my...
You know how badly I wanted Tua to come to New Orleans and be coached by Sean Payton? Do you know how badly I wanted that for the last 2 years before he got traded off? I was so excited. I just, like, give me that. It's Hawaiian Breeze, you know? Bring over Hawaiian Breeze and let him do the dirty, dirty New Orleans thing with Sean Payton, who just came from Drew Brees. So, talent to talent, give me Tua. Especially in Dynasty when age is the factor. Tua did get a guaranteed paycheck through 2024. They did pick up his fifth year option, which is notable because it locks them in for like an extra $23 or $30 million or something like that. That makes me feel better when I bet on him too. Because I can say, well, I was just as smart as the GM of the Miami Dolphins. So it's not on me.
Yeah. I'm actually low on Russell Wilson. I have bet at quarterback 20 right now, so I'm a little bit lower than Ryan. So I'm obviously out on this one. It's cap for me. I want to believe it because I have a lot of pieces of Jerry Jeudy. Even I have a lot of Javonte Williams as well, and I think Peyton could help that out. But I watched Russell Wilson last year, and I kept every game like, okay, he's going to figure it out this game, and then he didn't. I mean, it was like a full season of garbage. I mean, he played terrible. At one point, as far as efficiency numbers was, he was like last in the league for starting quarterbacks. I mean, that was
bad coaching, though. We've seen what bad coaching can do to good players before.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
I mean, the Trevor Lawrence jump wasn't just a second-year jump. Well, he used that one all the time. It was
wasn't his coach Aaron Rodgers' coach?
Offensive coordinator. Yeah. So a little bit different.
Okay. Fair enough. So as much as I do all over Russell Wilson, I think you're too low on him, Jeff. And Ryan, I think you're right. At about 15 is fine.
Fair enough.
I just don't like him at 15.
Maybe it's because I'm a Niners fan. I don't like Russell Wilson. Okay.
He's annoying to me.
We're coming up to like a Rashad White Gibbs disparity where you're like, wait, I hate him, but he's fine, you know?
Yeah. I think he's a safe, nice floor play. He might give you a couple banger games.
And on the trade market, he'll have spikes.
Yeah.
That's what you can bank on also. That's a lot. There's a lot to hedge with on him because of his name value and with Sean Payton and blah, 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 blah. And we don't have to believe in him as much as we, you know, I think the price is fine as much as I don't like him, which makes him a nice little player to arbitrage because I don't really care if he's on my team or not.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, next one here, Ryan. DeAndre Swift in Philly will be a top 12 running back in 2023. That's a stretch there, but we've seen it, you know, the flashes of it where he can potentially do it, but now he's in Philly. Can he do it in Philly?
Dude, I kind of believe he can. I know it's hard with his track record injuries, but looking at Philly, had the number one rush offense. I know we're all like, everyone always points to Jalen Hurts being the main reason for it. They still had 366 carries for the running backs.
That's a lot between
Shady Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell. They still had over 70 targets to their running backs in the passing game, which kind of hurts that narrative about pass catching running back. If he gets 180 attempts in 40 to 50 targets in that offense with how much they score in them wide open running lanes, he's going to be in the top 12. Being in that end of the top 12 is not hard. And especially if you're in a top tier NFL offense, the opportunity is there.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, similar to Tua, his biggest detractor is his health. As long as he can stay healthy in that offense, I think definitely, I think top 12 is in the cards for sure. I actually have him currently at RB 17. So, you know, the chance to jump up into that top 12 is definitely there.
Jeff, did you just pick all guys you hate for this list?
yeah, apparently I did. I didn't mean to do it that way, but that's kind of how it turned out for sure. Where do you have, you have Swift to what? You have him like 14 or 13, I think, right?
Me, I moved him to 15. He was part of the move, gives up.
Gotcha. You said 15. Oh, nice. And what did you have for what did you have projected if he can get what were the numbers you were want him to hit?
I said if he gets 180 carries and 50, 60 targets in that offense, I think that gives him enough red zone opportunities. And I think they won't be low value targets in the passing game. Because of how efficient rusher he is with the ball in his hands.
That's really important about the high value targets because if you want him to get 160 rushing attempts, Miles Sanders had 259 rushing attempts last year.
And so
it's funny because you have him at running back 15 and Miles Sanders was running back 15 last year.
Yeah.
But where he could make up for that, you know, only 60% rushing quantity that Miles Sanders had is Miles Sanders had 26 targets, whereas if he finishes with 40 receptions instead of 20 receptions, that is going to be a massive difference with somebody who specializes in pass catching. So I like it. I'm with you. And I could see him in top 12 for sure.
And efficiency-wise in the passing game, he's going to see a lot more one-on-ones in open field because they have these guys who just force defensive backs to be down the field. Like, your safeties cannot be in the box, and you have Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown. He's getting tons of room to run.
Yeah.
Cool, I like it.
All right, next one here. And this one, I kind of did a thing on Twitter, too, to kind of figure out where people's heads were at on the receivers in Dallas. But Factor Cap, Matt. Brandon Cooks in Dallas, assuming health, has another 1,000-yard season there.
Assuming health, I'm fine with it. But again, we're getting to that 30-year-old. When it happens, when they hit the cliff,
they fall off of it.
There is a vacuum going downwards, and it is a black hole, and they're done. So, assuming health, I wouldn't bet against him having another 1,000-yard season because he's done it. I think every healthy season. That's the difference between him and Mike Evans, right?
Yeah.
And he has Dak. That's fine. That's great. CeeDee Lamb's going to take a lot of heat off of. Off the middle, because he's really good at what he does, and Brandon Cooks has always been a deep threat. Now, if he loses a step, sure, but I think the deciding factor for me is when you say, assuming health, I love it, but it's really hard to bet on that right now.
Agreed. Ryan, I know you like Brandon Cooks. You've talked about him a lot. I'm curious to what your thoughts are here in Dallas.
It's the health and the age thing. And with the age thing, his skill set is one that does not age well. Like some of these bigger receivers, like DeAndre Hopkins, who's more of just a pure route runner and be able to body guys, doesn't rely so much on 4.28 speed. The cliff comes a little bit slower when it's more technic. Like he's a great route runner, all that, but he's also been... He's not as beat up as the world could act like he is. He's played full season 6 of his 9 years, which were 1,000-yard seasons. But if he's healthy, that offense, they pass the time, man. They pass, almost 600 pounds.
Well, they have with Kellen Moore, but I don't know who's in there now.
I mean, they still don't have a fully healthy Tony Pollard either. They're going to have to pass because that's how their team's built.
Yeah, they're built to pass.
They're built to pass the ball. And if he's there, he can get 1,000 yards in the ugliest way possible.
I'll say this. Do you remember how serviceable Noah Brown was at times through the year?
Yep.
Cooks is better than him, even at 30. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I said it's a 1,000-yard thing. I think it's possible just because how much they should pass.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. I'm very confident pacing him for 1,000 yards. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep. All right, let's do one more here. And since you're the resident Saints fan here, Matt, we'll go to you first. We'll do this last one that I have on the list there. Jamal Williams will lead all Saints running backs in touches in 2023. Of course, they got the rookie there, Kendra Miller, that everybody loves. Alvin Kamara is still there as well. So Jamal Williams is there. Is he leading the Saints in touches this year?
I think that even if Kamara doesn't play half the season because of these legal battles, I still don't really see Jamal Williams taking more than half the touches. Kendra Miller's not explosive. He doesn't really catch passes. He's fine. He's a fine dart throw, and if Kamara does get suspended or cut, he's going to rise in value. So I do like Kendra Miller for that. But it's hard to bet on any Saint right now just because of how lackluster the offense is under their old defensive coordinator, who's now the head coach, Dennis Allen. It's just not an inspiring offense, really, if you're chasing touchdowns. And Jamal Williams last year had 17 touchdowns. Of course he's exciting. If he's in a place where he can maybe, if it's just between him and Kendra Miller and there are 17 touchdowns to be had the same way they were in Detroit, I would feel a lot better about it. But I don't even think the situation is that good. And so we're already depending on Kamara to not be there for him to be worth something or other. So I think right now in Superflex startup rookie drafts, you could probably buy him for an early third. And if you think he's going to lead the team in touches in 2023, you should absolutely go do that, because then he's extremely undervalued at that price.
Yeah.
But I think it would take too many factors to fall right. And even still, I don't think that his worth will be what it should be on the trade market if that happens.
Yeah. I saw you nodding your head, Ryan. You agree with that?
Yeah, he was talking about the touchdowns. That was a bizarre thing in that offense. Like, how often do running backs score 17 touchdowns? Jamal Williams has been in the league for a long time, and he has never had anywhere close to that before.
Well, half of them were from 1 or 2 yards out.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the perfect storm.
It really was.
Yep.
He is a pile mover and between the tackles runner. You have to have a very high-powered offense to get that kind of touchdown production.
Right.
Yeah, he had his LeGarrette Blunt season.
Didn't he has LeGarrette Blunt season.
That's wonderful. Yeah, good call. Yeah.
And I just don't think the Saints have that. There's some fun things to like on the Saints team, like obviously Chris Olave, but there's still a lot of fear on that team and a lot of questions. And I don't think performing that way can do it. He could lead in touches, but it still might not be efficient touches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, good point.
All right. Let's get to our final segment of the night.
Get ready for goingfor2.com's Forgotten Fantasy Player of the Week.
All right, Matt. Gladys last week had us pretty stumped. So let's see if you can match what Gladys did. She was in the chat. I'm not sure if she still is in the chat or not, but she stumped us last week.
She went way too old.
Who's her person?
She was Kellen Winslow Sr., tight end.
Like, she went 70s.
Yeah. I had the right team in the right position. I just couldn't think of his damn name. And then Jamie in the chat ended up getting it for us. Probably Googled it. But
I just named every other Hall of Fame tight end from the 70s yeah. And couldn't think of him. The one who's like the most famous.
Yeah. The Hall of Fame tight end from the 70s.
Well, Kellen Winslow should have been probably first or second on the list, right?
Yeah. I went Dave Casper first.
Okay. Well, this one's a little bit more recent, fellas. After playing at Illinois, he went undrafted in 2007.
That's a big hint. Undrafted 2007.
That's pretty vague. I'll let you go. You know what? You guys have impressed me every step along the way. So let me just be quiet and leave y'all. If he went undrafted in 2007 and played at Illinois.
It's vague, but I think once we start...
I can like picture it, but I'm just keep going.
You better not, dude. You better not. You, if you get this, you text me first, because I don't want to ruin it for. I got a bunch of good facts about this dude.
No, I don't have it right now, but I'm like
good. All right. Well, I led my team in rushing yards in 2008, and 2009 and in 2013 when I also led the league in RB receiving yards.
He undrafted in 2007, and then in 2008 and 9, he was the team's leading rusher.
And in 2013, he was again the team's leading rusher and led the league in RB receiving yards. Same team as the next hint.
I keep wanting to say Doug Martin, but no, that's not it.
What'd you say?
I want to say Doug Martin, but no, that's wrong.
Nope.
All right, I need another hint.
I scored the first touchdown in my Super Bowl win on a screen pass.
Willie Snead. Oh, not Willie Parker. Is it Willie Parker?
No, but I just got chills at how close you were on that first one.
About Snead.
Willie. Ah. Now you got to be thinking of all the Willie names, but I don't think that's right.
It's not the name that was close.
It's the team.
It wasn't Mendenhall, was it?
Nope, but it was the team. Guys, where am I from?
It's a Steelers player. Illinois.
No, I'm not from Pittsburgh. I'm from New Orleans. I'll go over it again. Undrafted in 2007, led my team in rushing yards in 2008, 2009, when we won the Super Bowl.
Oh, Mark Ingram. No.
Boy, this guy is forgotten if I'm stumping you, Ryan.
Oh. Oh, my God.
I led the league in 2013 in receiving yards for running backs, and I led my team in running back rush yards in the same year. In 2009... I led my team in rushing yards when we won the Super Bowl, and I completed the first touchdown in the Super Bowl on a screen pass against Denver.
Why can't I think of...
No, I'm sorry. It wasn't Denver. It was Indianapolis. I'm so sorry. Oh, we already established that it was the Saints, so I'm not giving you... That's not a new clue.
Pierre Thomas.
Boom!
There we go. Yes.
Yeah!
Took a little while. Jack. We got there. I was thinking of all the running backs. I was like, they had so many, like, the super committee, like, three running backs deep every year, it seemed like. And
I didn't realize Pierre Thomas, like, led the team in rushing yards that much.
Three times. One was during the Super Bowl win. One was that season. And then he also led the entire league in running back reception yards.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's a forgotten dude.
That is a forgotten dude.
That's undrafted.
Really good. Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, I didn't realize he was undrafted too. That's what threw me off as well. Good stuff, man. That was he even stumped Jamie, and Jamie usually gets it in the chat because
he Googles it.
Yeah, I was like, he got access to Google.
Cheating trivia, dude.
All right, great show. We'll go around the room real quick. Give us your Twitter handle. Thank you for coming on once again. We appreciate it. So you go ahead and plug anything you're working on or anything you want to talk about.
Cool. Thank you so much. Well, thank you so much for having me. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at FFMadJester, like a crazy clown. My name is Matt Chester. So you can kind of do a little correlation right there. If you want to check me out, I've been on JWB twice this week. It's really, really fun. It's a really good crew. And I like to talk strategy with a few of those guys on there. This is my second time. So if you want to go check out Gladys's show from Monday, I had a really good time with her. We talked a little bit of NBA finals. A little bit of women's softball. I mean, it spread everything, but we did do mostly Dynasty. And also what dropped yesterday was Dynasty Degenerates. It's JCJ Dynasty, at JCJ Dynasty was the host. And just find me in those Twitter streets. I'm not putting out much content right now because there's so many rookie drafts going on and there's just so many podcasts to hop on and talk about all this stuff. It's a lot. It's a whirlwind. Rookie draft season is really, really fun. So if you catch me out there in those streets, holler and we can talk shop.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Great stuff. Ryan, what you got going on?
Find me Twitter, Foss534. Find me occasionally in our Discord, which people should join. It's fun.
Occasionally is the key word there. Occasionally. Ryan shows up every once in a while.
Yeah. I pop in and out. But find me Rookie Big Board. I'll be coming on Gladys' show here in a couple weeks. That'll be fun. She finally decided to like me enough to bring me on. That's cool. But yeah, same old, same old.
All right. So Ryan mentioned the Discord. For those out there that are hopeful to get in or maybe already in the Scott Fishbowl, we have a big section of the Discord dedicated to the Scott Fishbowl. We are doing tons of mock drafts once he releases the scoring. And we got a guy who actually came on two shows ago, Seth Keller. Actually, he's the guru with Excel and with Sleeper API. He's going to be able to pull an ADP from our mock drafts for the Scott Fishbowl, which we'll have that exclusively in the Discord. So it should be a lot of fun. Last year, we did over 200 mock drafts all through my Sleeper account. My phone hated me for about a month because it was notification hell. But a lot of fun there, guys. You can check out the Discord if you go to my Twitter page, and you can see it at the top there. It's a link. Or to go to goingfor2.com. We got an icon there on there. You can join there as well. So that's basically it for this week, guys. For Matt, for Ryan, I'm Jeff, and we will see y'all next week.
Thanks, y'all. I'm gonna go get a fresh one. I'll be right back.
All right.